What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be recapping the Washington Wizards' 116-112 win over the Sacramento Kings. Their third win in four tries. They're now 13-35. I don't think anybody who's a Wizards fan is realistically excited about this one. How do I describe it? They basically said, hey, Sacramento, you have 12 wins, we have 12 wins. The loser of this game owns the worst record in the NBA wins-wise. We're going to deploy our starters for at least the first part of the game, but for the last 16 minutes, we're going to play our G League team, okay? You guys play DeRozan and LaVine and your starters because you're relatively healthy, and like we'll put up the appearance that we're trying to win this game, but we're clearly not, and you know that. So just, you know, throw us a little bone here. Just, you know, your starters versus our G League team, you should win, right? And the Wizards thought that it was all going to be okay. It was not. The Kings are one of the worst teams I've ever seen constructed. They made the DeAndre Hunter trade. It seems like they might trade DeRozan and LaVine. Like, it's kind of a fire sale there. But the Wizards sat their starting lineup. Marvin Bagley was the last starter in this game with 4:13 left in the third quarter. The final 16 or so minutes of this game, the Washington Wizards benched their starters, okay? And it wasn't a thing where, you know, you see a lot where, you know, the starters aren't playing well, the team is losing, the bench comes in, and they play really well, and the coach goes, you know what, I'm going to reward these guys. Like, they deserve to close this game. You've seen it all the time if you watch the NBA. If you watch the Wizards the last couple years, you've seen it when the starters are getting killed, and they come back because of the bench. That's a completely valid thing, happens all the time in the NBA, right? And so I'm sure you're thinking, hey, man, you know, I didn't watch this game, Greg. I would assume that's the case. I would assume the Wizards were down 17 when their starters were playing, and they only came back because of the bench, and that's why they closed the game. Completely valid, right? Well, that wasn't the case. When Marvin Bagley and the starters, you know, exited the game with 4:13 left in the third quarter, I believe it was 78-73, the Wizards led. Again, they were winning with their starting lineup in the game. They were. And then you had Sacramento, who had been trailing for most of the game. They couldn't make a bucket in the first quarter. I think the Wizards held them scoreless for 10 minutes and 15 seconds between the first and second quarters for a stretch, which is insane. And scoreless, I mean, they held them without a made field goal. Like, LaVine made a couple free throws, same with DeRozan. But the Kings went 10-15 of game time without a made basket. Like, that's just egregious how bad your offense is if that's the case. But 78-73, you know, the Wizards put in this, like, all-bench lineup. And it's not like it's wildly successful. Like I mentioned, they were up five when they put that in the game. The Kings slowly start to creep back, and at a certain point, they tied at 95, completely erased the 17-point lead that the starters, you know, helped grow. I mean, the bench had 50-plus points. They were good, but it's not like the starters were outplayed. It's not like the starters were the reason that the team was playing bad. And so, obviously, that it's not the case, right, where you were sat there and you were saying, okay, the Wizards bench brought them back into this game. You know, Brian Keefe's going to close with them. You thought, or at least I thought the entire time, like, it's a two-point game. You know, one-possession, two-possession game for the final, pretty much the entire final 5 minutes of this one, when the starters would typically be put back in the game. But Brian Keefe said, absolutely not. Like, I'm not going to do that. And he decided to close basically the entire last 16 minutes, but really crunch time in the fourth quarter. He decided to close with Sharif Cooper, again, two-way guy, rarely, if at all, plays rotational minutes. Most of the time you see him, the game's over, and he's playing the final 2-3 minutes of garbage time. A.J. Johnson, who scored a lot tonight, we'll have more in-depth analysis on him later, again, was just sent down to the G League a few days ago. Rarely, if ever, is a rotational piece for this team, and more so plays a lot more playing time with the go-go in the G League, like Sharif Cooper, than he does with the Wizards. So that's, again, your starting backcourt for the go-go a couple days ago. Then you got Will Riley, who, again, has spent a decent bit of time with the go-go and has played more rotation minutes with other guys getting injured. The trade of Kispert obviously opened up minutes for Will. So he was sort of that lone, like, actual rotational piece that was still in that lineup. Anthony Gill, again, that 15th man veteran mentor, you rarely, if ever, see him play. And then Scott Labissiere, who like 5 or 6 days ago was signed to a 10-day contract. Like, none of these guys are realistically like, oh, they're going to close the game. Labissiere, for the first part of the season, I think, spent time with the Go-Go. So 3 of the 5 guys are like starters for your G League team, and you close the final 16 minutes of this game with them. And they didn't play that bad. Like, they went against Sacramento's starters. They held off a late surge from the Kings, and like, they won. Scott Labissiere hadn't played 10 plus minutes in an NBA game since 2019. Since December of 2019 was the last time Scalm played 10 plus minutes, I believe, in an NBA game. So 6 years later, I mean, it's incredibly impressive. It shows sort of that resolve, you know, that fight to get back to the league. And I think he had 13 points, made a couple big shots. You know, hats off to him. Sharif Cooper, smallest guy on the floor, got a put back layup to give the Wizards a 5-point lead with 30 seconds left. So good for those guys. And then you had Will Riley, who had a career-high 18 points, 6 boards, 6 assists, made 4 of his 8 threes, hit a big three to give the Wizards a 2-point lead. So, like, it wasn't all bad. Like, I think what I'm trying to get at here is, like, this was the most egregious, blatant tank job I've seen from the Wizards in quite some time. I don't know if I want to say this rebuild because they've had some egregious tank jobs, but this one, you can't like, what's the word? Like, you can't really describe it. You can't, like, you know, if someone asked Will Dawkins about it, like, how is he going to sit up there and honestly say, like, hey, Will, do you think that the lineup and the rotations, especially towards the end of the game, gave you a chance or the best chance to win this one? If Will Dawkins was being honest, he would tell you no. He would have played Keyshawn George, Bilal Coulibaly. He would have played Marvin Bagley, who I don't think missed a shot tonight. He was awesome. 15 points on 7 of 7. You would have played your starters here. I think rationalize is the right word. Like, you can't sit up there and say that the Wizards did everything that they could to win this game. They won it somehow, some way. The Kings are so bad, but it was an egregious tank job. Like, that is the case. And I've said it all season. Like, if you're going to be out here and you're going to say the Nets are openly tanking and the Jazz and other teams like Sacramento, you can't just call their teams out and then look at what the Wizards did tonight and say that, like, they are exempt from that criticism. They deserve it all. This was gross. Like, this was a blatant tank job. We need to lose this game. We're going to close with our G League team and hopefully we lose. And they just somehow found a way to win against the Kings starters. Pretty blatant stuff. I mean, Sabonis was like a late scratch. I don't know why he was out tonight, warmed up. Seemed like he would play. The Kings said, you know what? Alex Sarr's out for you guys. Trey Johnson's out for you. We'll just take Sabonis and say he's nursing some sort of injury. He's out. And so, you know, both teams are in the same boat. Now the Wizards are tied with 4 other teams at 13 wins. The Kings stand alone at the worst team in the league at 12 wins. And there's still 30 plus games to be played. So, like, it's not like the lottery is tomorrow and you need to panic. But obviously, this would have been a great loss for the Wizards in terms of they are now, if they had lost, the only team with 12 wins. 4 other teams have 13. They lose the season series to Sacramento. Like, all of those things they were hoping for. And again, it's, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, what's the conversations like? Is there some sort of synergy between Will Dawkins and between Brian Keefe? Like, do you realistically think Brian Keefe went into this game and was like, you know what? I'm going to close with Sharif Cooper, Will Riley, AJ Johnson, Anthony Gill, and Scott Labissiere when I have my starting 5 and they're still all healthy. And it's a close game, one possession game for the final 5 minutes. Like, I don't think he makes that decision unless Will Dawkins or Michael Winger or someone's in his ear saying, yo, we kind of need to lose this game. You know, this is what I'd prefer that you do. Because if Brian keeps trying to win the game, again, they won. But nonetheless, he would, I think, play Keyshawn George and Bilal, who weren't playing that bad at that point of the game. Again, apologies. If I sound stuffy, I'm still pretty sick. I really don't know what I have. It's not fun. But like I said, after the Wizards game against Portland, and like I said, in the win after that against Milwaukee, when you have a chance to record a podcast episode in one of the worst NBA games I've ever watched, between two of the worst NBA teams this season and that I've seen in quite some time, you know I can't miss it. So apology if I sound stuffy, but that's kind of the synopsis of what I w witnessed tonight. It was an example of a Wizards team that was trying its best to sort of ethically tank, but not really, because everyone knew what they were trying to do, versus a Kings team that's just simply so bad that no matter what they do, even if they're playing against another G League lineup towards the end of a close game, they still can't find a way to pull out a win. They've lost nine in a row now, while the Wizards have lost three of four. So, I mean, very interesting game. Obviously, the Wizards, I think, would have preferred to lose it if you're asking like the front office. I'm really interested to see how like a Will Dawkins like watches a game like this. Like internally, I'm sure he's like, or externally, I'm sure he's got to put on this. Oh, yeah, I'm excited for Sharif and the BCA and Will Riley and like, yeah, we won a game. But inside, I'm sure he's like, I think this would have been a good one to lose. And again, I'm not saying he kn that's what he thinks, but if I'm him, like. This was a loss that you kind of needed. And unfortunately for him and for the Wizards, and their tanking outlook and sort of keeping that pick, I don't think the game really went, I guess, the way that you would have hoped, right? Excuse me. So that's sort of that. A couple of things to get to. Obviously, Sarr and Trey Johnson didn't play in this one. You had AJ Johnson, who played in this one. He had 17 points, which is by far season high. He really hasn't played much this season. He had a couple explosive dunks and made a couple threes. I think he finished with 17 points off the bench, 7 of 13 from the field, made 2 of his 5 threes, 4 assists, was a plus 8. Like, again, all that stuff is good, right? And I thought he was way more efficient than you typically see AJ Johnson be in the league. But again, I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer. I don't want to be, taking that performance and just being negative because it's very intriguing. And AJ's still, I think, 21 or 22. He's still very young, only in his second year. But I'd be lying if I didn't if I said that like this wasn't different than. I would be lying if I said this was different than last year because, last season you had AJ Johnson who could come in, give you 15 or 20 on a random night, explosive dunks, athletic plays, a couple threes here and there, gets the crowd on its feet. But he's still so skinny. And they said the Wizards said in the beginning of the year he added weight. It doesn't really look like it. Like he just still looks very thin and very frail. Defensively, he gets bullied and pushed around. It's not like there's much to hang your hat on that end. And then offensively, obviously, he scored tonight, but he had 7 turnovers. Like he plays, I think, a little too fast for himself. He had a travel where he just shuffled his feet. I think maybe 2 travels actually. A couple passes that just weren't close that he was forcing. Reads that he, I think, had predetermined before actually making the pass. So he has a lot of room to grow. A performance like this, and some people might get upset at me for this take. It doesn't really move me too much with AJ Johnson. Like I saw this last year. I haven't seen anything from AJ Johnson this year to say he's significantly better than last season or he's really taken a leap since last season. Like this is, I think, pretty much what you saw at times last year. And yes, he's young and he's not really a part of the rotation at the moment. So you got to be excited, I guess, about a game like this, but it's not something that I would write home about. And maybe that's not the most popular take among Wizards fans, but it's my take. And so hopefully you can at least respect it. Other than that, I mean, I want to talk about Will Riley. Again, thought he was really good, especially from three, made 4 of his 8 triples. That clutch three was sort of that go-to guy down the stretch for Washington. Finished with 18, 6, and 6, was a plus 8. I think scoring wise, one of his better performances. But I really like the way that he found his teammates. His mom is always saying he's a point guard. Will has said that he can play point guard. 6 assists to 1 turnover. Made some really good passes and some good reads. Really enjoyed, his overall performance from him. Obviously, I tweeted out about Jameer Watkins, his fellow rookie. He had a really solid defensive game, I thought, on DeRozan, especially in the first half. Made him work for a lot of looks and. Really enjoyed, sort of that stout D that he was able to play on DeMar. He had 8 points on 3 of 7, 6 boards. Again, just enjoyed that defense. And you got similar defense from Bilal, who again, it's unfortunate for him because he only played 21 minutes again. Didn't play really the final half of the third quarter and the entire fourth because the Wizards were tanking. But he had 15 points on 5 of 9 from the field. I really enjoyed his attacking mindset. He had a couple dunks, one emphatic one on the baseline, had a couple of steals, just a really active hands-on defense. I thought his ball pressure, specifically, above the three-point line, generated a lot of fast breaks for the Wizards, one of which he had a dunk on. So again, with Bilal, I really enjoyed that. There was a specific sequence where he caught a lob, finished through contact. I don't know how he made it, and one made the free throw, and then a couple plays later, the Wizards scored, and then he stole the inbounds and had another dunk. He was so good tonight. Scored around the rim, was efficient. Went to the line 5 times, made them all. Really enjoyed his performance. And then apart from that, not much else happened. That was too noteworthy. Apart from Bagley, right? He finally returned from a 5-game absence, 15 points, 5 boards, 7 of 7 from the field, didn't miss. Again, he's so efficient, he's so consistent, he's so productive. Again, $2.3 million expiring contract, and he did that all in 19 minutes. I think the Wizards with the trade deadline on Thursday, and we'll have more from that as that gets closer. I think that he makes sense as that guy I'm looking at, and you've seen like the Wizards have been linked to Lonzo Ball and taking on that contract. The Cavs could benefit from a center like Bagley for Lonzo and like multiple seconds or a late one. Like that makes sense, I think, for both sides. And I know Wizards fans are like, we don't want to trade Bagley. He's been so good. But I think if you told the Wizards in the offseason you could sign Bagley that late into the offseason at a veteran minimum and then eventually flip him for a first round pick, you would do that in 5 seconds. That's an unbelievable outcome for you if you're Will Dawkins, Michael Winger in the front office. And so I understand that the Wizards fans really like him, and he's been great this year. But sometimes a lot of people didn't want to trade Daniel Gafford, and look how good that worked out. If you didn't do that, you would have had been stuck on his deal and not allowed maybe Sarr to develop. You wouldn't have had the pick that became Keyshawn George. And so like look at it like that in terms of those like proactive moves. I think that if they can get a first or multiple seconds for him, then you have to do it. He's an expiring deal. Maybe he comes back yet again. But I mean, you look at Will Riley, right? That pick isn't possible if they don't trade Bagley to Memphis to take on Smart's contract. So maybe that's the case again this year. Like, you have to do it. It's a trade you have to make if presented. And so, again, my nose is going here. So I don't want to keep going too long here, but I definitely wanted to get a pod out here. It was one of the most egregious tank jobs I've seen in a while, and especially from the Wizards. And somehow, some way, the Kings still found a way to lose. And I don't even think the Kings were like an unethical tank. Like they were trying. There were times where if you told me they weren't trying, I would believe you. But they were trying. They had their starters in. They were trying to win way more than the Wizards. So you can't even get mad at the Kings for tanking. They're just bad. The Wizards are tanking actively, and they actually somehow found a way to win. So is it karma? I don't know, but not the best tank outcome for the Wiz. Happy for a lot of the players like Scal and Cooper that got a chance and made the most of it. Big games from Johnson and Riley. Not sure if when Brian Keefe wouldn't give an update on Trey Johnson. Sarr obviously was questionable and they didn't play, so I don't think his is as severe as Johnson. He has right calf soreness, so maybe Alex is back. I would assume sooner than Trey, but they were both out again tonight. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Wizards win 116 to 112, improved to 13-35. I believe Washington's next game is at home against the Knicks in 2 days on the on Tuesday. So I'll be back to recap that one for you guys. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Thanks for listening as always. Go Wiz.